most of the people in this audience, as I look around, weren't born 30 years ago when Vietnamese threw out the U.S. military. I'm one of those statistics that Dr. Chomsky mentioned in 1969 as a teenager. I realized the immorality and destruction in Vietnam, and it turned me and my family from right-wing Republicans to demonstrators in the street. I also had the privilege of listening to L. Paul Bremer at my alma mater, Clark University, a couple of weeks ago, in which 750 Clark University students, I would say probably 98%, were not happy that he was there at the tune of $40,000, which he was paid for about an hour and a half worth of discussion. And most of them walked out chanting, "Refund, refund." I have a two-part question. One, what websites, what newsletters, what ways that people can be informed? And I know this is the tough one, is how come we don't see 100,000 U.S. citizens in the street, 500,000 U.S. citizens in the street in Boston, demonstrating, saying, out now in Iraq?
Well, see, I think people are comparing Iraq and Vietnam at the wrong stages. How many people did you see demonstrating in the streets in Boston in 1962, when the U.S. Escalated from from mass murder in a terror state to outright invasion? Well, I can tell you the answer to that: zero. I mean, at those days, I was giving talks in churches where, you know, there might be four people. I mean, the minister, the organizer, a drunk who walked in off the street, and somebody wanted to kill you. You know, and that went on for years. I mean, the first major public demonstration in Boston was in October 1965 at the Boston Common. I was supposed to be one of the speakers. Nobody could speak because the place was attacked by thousands of counter demonstrators, most of them students coming from, you know, organized at universities. In fact, the only reason we weren't killed was because there were lots of state police around who may not have liked what we were saying, but didn't want to see somebody killed on the Boston Common. That was October 1965. That was after, long after, the time when the U.S. had escalated the war against South Vietnam at the price of pounding the place to bits. Okay, it was years after the U.S. war. In fact, by the time demonstrations began, seriously, like 67, that's when Bernard Fall was worrying that Vietnam as a historical and cultural entity might become extinct under the attack of the worst and greatest military machine that had ever been launched. That was very limited protest against the Vietnam War. And when protest finally did develop by 67, 68, 69, it was mostly focused on the bombing of the North. I mean, the bombing, the destruction of the South is almost unknown. I mean, and let's compare that with Iraq. I mean, Iraq is the first time in the history of the West, Europe and the United States, when there was mass opposition to a war before it was even launched, not 8 years later. You know. Now, what's going on in Iraq is awful in all sorts of ways, but it is not the kind of thing that that's going to elicit demonstrations. I mean, it's kind of like South Vietnam in 1957 or something like that. And it's complex. I mean, there is a crucial difference. What Long said about the Vietnamese elections is absolutely correct, but the Iraqi elections were different. Paul Bremer tried to stop them. He's the one who was in charge of trying to avoid elections, and they were compelled to accept them by mass popular opposition. Actually, what took place was not really an election. It was more like a census. So the Kurds voted for the Kurdish candidate, and the Shiites overwhelmingly voted for the candidate that the Ayatollah Sistani told them to vote for, a Shiite candidate, and the Sunnis mostly didn't vote. So it was kind of a census. But nevertheless, it was forced on the occupying forces, and now the question is, can they force on the occupying forces their own agenda? And in this kind of situation, we should be doing something. But what we should be doing, in my opinion, is compelling the U.S. government to accept the will of the Iraqis, as indeed expressed in their own electoral candidates, and to prevent the U.S. from doing what Bremer was trying to do. I'm sure he didn't talk about this at Clark, but the main thing that he did was to impose a completely illegal, in fact criminal, set of regulations, again in violation of the Geneva Conventions, which opened up Iraqi economy to almost total takeover by U.S. corporations. And right now the U.S. is trying to compel the new government to accept those. And there's a lot of opposition to it in Iraq, and we ought to be taking a stand on that. Also, we should be taking a stand on trying to get the opinion of the vast majority of the American population into the public arena on this. For 2 years now, around 70% of the public has been calling for U.S. forces in Iraq, if they're there, to be under U.N. supervision, not U.S. command. In fact, the large majority of the American public is in favor of what Spanish voters voted for last year. Remember, Spain last year, it was kind of not reported accurately, what they actually voted for, the Spanish voters, was not to withdraw troops, but to keep troops there only under UN authorization and command, which happened to be the position of about 70% of Americans. And they voted out the government because it wouldn't do that. Well, there's a difference between Spain and the United States in this respect, and one that which should concern us. Spain's no model democracy, far from it. But in Spain, people were aware of public opinion. Here they're not. And in Spain, people could vote on their opinions. Here it's inconceivable. Neither political party would ever even dream of mentioning that, and the media wouldn't mention it. Those are serious problems here. And those problems have to be overcome. But I think the position of the large majority of the American population is not unreasonable. They are correct, I think, in thinking that an international organization, the UN, is the only one around, and that would mean the General Assembly, which has authority and the U.S. doesn't have a veto, has some reflection of third world voices, that should be in charge of reconstruction, political transition, and security in Iraq until Iraqis tell them we'll take it over. That's a sensible position, but for that, you know, mass popular demonstrations are not really the right technique.
I'd like to endorse Professor's Chomsky's statement on the peace movement in this country. It was 20 years after the U.S. involvement in Vietnam that, you know, only a small number of Americans knew anything about Vietnam. And when we started organizing here in this country, it was very small groups of people. I, for example, every week I went out to talk almost 6 or 7 times a week to groups of 2 or 3 persons or whatever, and we started building this kind of thing up. But we should not pat ourselves on the back for that, because basically what happened by 67, 68 was there were a tremendous number of American soldiers died in Vietnam. Every week about 400 persons, in casualties. And I would like to hate to say this, but, you know, until we wouldn't have these mass demonstrations that you mentioned about, in Vietnam, until we have more Americans coming back, you know, in body bags. But I don't wish that on American people. But another thing I want to endorse Professor Chomsky is that the American people have learned something about the Vietnam War. And the American people have reacted to other situations after the Vietnam War much, much more quickly than it ever reacted to Vietnam. And in this case, you see, there was a preemptive reaction to the American invasion of Iraq. And I think the American people have learned to distrust the government or to question, you know, their lies. And I think that's a benefit that the Vietnam War and the anti-war movement in this country have contributed to this country.
I should just add to that a separate point. It just happens that I just came back from the West, in fact, from what are reputed to be the most conservative regions of the West, like right on the Idaho border, where you see nothing but right-wing Christian evangelicals and, you know, the National Rifle Association and so on. I mean, there were audiences of 4,000 people, you know, turning others away. It's not, the Northeast is one of the most backward areas in this respect. It's not a joke. You find this all over the country. People are engaged, concerned, you know, and want to get involved in something. And there's very little in the way of organization to, there's nothing, you know, nobody's telling, there's nobody putting together something they could do. That's quite different from Vietnam. And it means there are real opportunities.